B-Pod Studios.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
Tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich and Will Brinson. Not only is he a good-looking fella, he is the senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. Also hosts the daily Pick 6 podcasts. And every week he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Will, are you... You're in North Carolina, so, I mean, you're kind of right in the middle of all this East IEA stuff. Are you guys getting nailed right now?
I got nailed last night at 2 a.m.,
That was a joke.
Yeah,
zing, woo!
Hey,
good for you.
It's currently
it's Randy Will Brinson here. What's up there? Woo!
I was up after midnight, and it was pouring here. But we just mostly got a bunch of rain, and that's it. I think a storm already came through. I know my mother-in-law is down on a beach, and she sent some pictures of trees in their neighborhood that were pulled down. But I mean, we are through the storm and just a little soggier, no worse for the wear, as far as I can tell. I think some people around here lost power, but it seems like we're fine. And I don't know if I'll go outside today, but I hear it's probably nice out there.
Well, it's funny. It's because it doesn't hit me the severity of how a storm can be until I see the obligatory Jim Cantore video, which was going around the internet last night, where
he's got a fan behind him, and he's pretending to be like unable to stand there.
Well, the worst is I've seen ones, and I don't know if it was Cantore, if it was just another person covering the storms, but I mean, there's that video of the guy who's standing up and you just see him from the waist up, but when the camera pans down, there's like an intern and holding his legs up so the person wouldn't fall over. And I'm like, you want to talk about a college gig, is you're the dude that in a storm had to keep the weatherman from flopping on his face during a hurricane.
No, the best one was, and I think this was Cantor. I don't want to disparage Jim Cantor, but I think it was him. He's like holding the microphone, and he's holding his hat down. He's like, it is incredible down here what we are experiencing at sea level with this hurricane. And then, like, two people go jogging by.
there's one that I actually saw happen live, and it was a woman on the Today Show who was broadcasting in a canoe, and she was going through a neighbor, and she goes, it's just, look at how deep it is here. And meanwhile, while she's talking, two dudes just walk behind her, and it's like the water's like up to like barely their ankles. And you know, at that point, the people on the Today Show, at the point, you know, Matt Lauer was still working at the time, and he goes, hang on, we need to rewind this tape. Those two people are walking behind you. Are they men of God? Are they walking on water? What's going on here? And she goes, no, it's really that deep. And meanwhile, like, her oar is hitting, like, you know, concrete. Clink, clink. But I'm just good. I'm glad you're okay. That's good to hear. This is going to be a weird couple of days when the whole opt-out thing happens. Why do you think I know we've asked you about this, but it is really strange, isn't it, how more Patriots than anybody seem to be opting out. It's like almost as if there was an agreement that was made, or like one guy did it and the rest of them were like, all right, well, I respect this guy, so I'm out. But why do you think New England more than anybody?
I mean, if I had to guess, I would think that Bill Belichick got out in front of it. It was like, hey guys, look, you know, this, this is a very important and difficult decision you're going to make. I don't expect you to, you know, to know exactly what you want to do, but you know, the faster you can make the decision, the better off it is for us, because it allows, you know, us as a team to plan and to prepare and to get our ducks in a row and to figure out what we're going to have from a roster standpoint. That would be my guess. Or maybe, you know, maybe it's one of those things where the Patriots, are more full of veterans and guys who were more, you know, speak to each other more regularly. We're more easily able to make a decision quickly. I would guess it's probably one of those two things. I know that's not a great explanation, but I mean, these guys did come together pretty quickly and make a call.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of strange how that all happened, and I think that a lot of people get angry when you say Bill Belichick had anything to do with it. I think maybe you're right. It might have been like a suggestion, like, guys, we're not going to, you know, we will respect your decision if you opt out. And if you do it, it's probably the sooner the better, and that way you can move on, we can move on. Couldn't you see there being like a talk just as simple as that? Not like even anything menacing, just
a... No. It's not menacing. I think he goes to him and like, hey, look, like, you guys need to do what's best for you, what's best for your family. Whatever decision you think you need to make, there's no wrong decision. It's just like sending kids back to school, right? You can't know what the call is. But I just think he's like, look, you know, this is a mess. What's going on between the NFL and the NFLPA? We don't know when they're going to have a deadline, but we do know that the sooner we have information, the faster we can act on that information. So if you're able to make that call, because I mean, they did it all at one time. So to me, it felt like something that, you know, was either, so it's either all of these veteran players like Donta Hightower and Patrick Chung, who are beloved by Bill Belichick and love Bill Belichick right back, decided to get together and opt out on it and be like, ha, I got you. Or they're all, you know, working in concert and doing their coach and their organization a favor. And given everything we know about the Patriots in the last 20 years, the latter seems a lot more reasonable. And there's nothing. Belichick saying that, if he said anything or if the Patriots said anything, it's not nefarious at all. It's simply,
right,
hey, you know, we want to make sure you guys, like, and maybe he went to him and was like, if you guys need help making, you know, like, you know, we're here, come talk to us, yada, yada, yada. I think you want that from your employer in this time of crisis where nobody really has any leadership currently or any help in leadership. Or leadership.
Well, now that the leadership of the NFL has kind of put together finally an opt-out date and a time on Thursday afternoon, do you expect any more Patriots or are we going to have an avalanche of NFL players that opt out at the last minute here?
Yeah, I mean, I think we could have I'm sure there are a lot. I mean, I know what I would be doing if I were an NFL player. I would be waiting as long as I possibly could to make the call, knowing in the back of my head that I'm probably going to bail, depending on my, like, in my situation, if I were a veteran who had earned some paychecks and had a family at home and, I guess I would, you know, depending on what my wife told me, but she'd like, get your ass out of this, go make some money. She confirms I would be playing football. All right, never mind. So, you know what I mean? Like, these talks are not easy and people are having them. I think they're all ongoing. So, yeah, I think it's entirely possible that we get an avalanche of guys who decide to opt out over the next 48 hours. I mean, I think the NFL has been sort of surprised by how many guys have opted out. And, you know, it's largely not huge names. I know the Patriots, obviously, you know, Marcus Cannon, Donta Hightower, Patrick Chung, big, big names and very important guys for what New England does. But, I mean, you know, with the exception of a couple of guys, it hasn't been huge impact players for these NFL teams. And so that's sort of what I'm curious is, like, could we get a quarterback in the next 48 hours? You know, who exactly could opt out here? And, yeah, I wouldn't rule out a Patriots player. I mean, I think Devin McCourty, I think it was made it very clear that he was frustrated by the BS situation that the NFL had going on, and that, you know, he seemed very much on the fan. I don't know if he's out there, unless I missed it, and he said he's definitely in, but like, or definitely out, whatever it was. But, you know, I mean, I think there's probably a lot of guys on the fence. How could they not be? I mean, it is a big time unknown, and you're making a pretty monster decision. And you know, some people have wives who tell them to get in there and play, and other people are going to have, you know, spouses who are like, you're not going in there. We got three kids. And so, I mean, like, I mentioned this a few weeks ago. I mean, a guy like Russell Wilson, for instance, you know, he has a Super Bowl window that's open. He is the leader of the team. He is the quarterback. He is an MVP candidate, and he has a wife with a tiny, you know, at home taking care of a tiny infant child. I mean, that's a tough call, man. I mean, there's a risk reward situation going on there, because it's not like Russell Wilson needs the money. It's not like Russell Wilson, can't completely isolate himself in luxury. I mean, he can't. You know, so that's a tough spot. And the other one I thought that was interesting was C.J. Mosley, because he actually was smart to opt out, because the contract's toll. If you're on your rookie deal, you don't want your contract tolling, because it rolls over to the next season. You're a year away from free agency. C.J. Mosley just kicked his gigantic idiot free agent contract down the curb one year.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. But, you know, with these decisions, it's like I'm not going to question any of them. It's all because, everyone seems, you got to do what's best for your family. But there's a lot of weird stuff that's being thrown out there for this season. I mean, it really does kind of seem like, especially when you watch what's going on with baseball, that they're just trying to poke, like plug every hole that's in this dam and keep it from leaking. Like, there was one thing that a report that came out this week that I guess the NFL is now, quote, strongly urging teams not to stay on the road that long. And if you look at the schedule, the Patriots are going to get really screwed here, because they've got two games that are out in Los Angeles. They've got the Chargers and then the Rams, and it's a Sunday night Thursday situation. So and if they decide, basically what they're asking them to do is on Sunday night after the game is done, or is it Monday night?
It's Sunday.
That's right, Sunday, Thursday.
Yes.
So Sunday night after the game, they would have to fly back.
Take a red eye back from L.A. Yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awful.
And then you fly back on Wednesday in order to get to L.A. again in time for the game, or maybe even Thursday morning if they're going to try to squeeze it in that close. But apparently, if you do something like stay there, like if the Patriots decide to stick around for the 2 days, which makes complete and total sense, that I guess the NFL is punishing teams by making them fill out this huge, detailed infectious disease emergency response plan, which is, I guess, like extremely tedious and over the top, but they have to do, and it monitors all these players while they're there. And it just doesn't seem like something the NFL is ready for. So how are they going to be able to keep like the competitive balance fair, where, if in baseball you've got a team that misses a couple games, that's not great. But, one to two less games that a team has to play, that's a huge deal. Like, teams play all season long so they can get one bye week. And doesn't that give you even like somewhat of a competitive advantage if you didn't play as many games as the other teams that you're going to play in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's a huge difference. And I mean, it's not like the Patriots planned a week-long LA vacation. It's like, you did the schedule, guys. You made the schedule in the pandemic when everyone knew that there were problems, and you didn't build contingencies in for back-to-back LA games. I mean, that's when I say you, I mean the NFL. Like, that's on them, and that's a bad job by them. I know. It was Dan Lifshatz tweeted that you move one game to Sunday, and maybe that I think it was Dan who did that. I'm not sure, but that would potentially solve an issue. You just can't have these Thursday games are just a problem, and I really think the NFL, and we talked about this on my podcast today for today's show, I believe, and it's an article by my colleague John Breach. It's really interesting. Breach is like a sort of a scheduling psychopath, like guru, nut job. Breach is the best, but like, he created an entirely new schedule for the NFL, and it's kind of cool. I mean, and it doesn't really answer the question, but I sort of think it does, because I think the NFL has to fundamentally alter what it has on the schedule, because right now, it's like, all right, let's just play 16 games with random buys in there. It's like, that's not going to work. You're not going to be able to make up these games that get canceled when three offensive linemen for one team get coronavirus and have to sit out. Yeah. It's just going to be a problem. So Breach's idea was, it's basically first 7 weeks of the season, you only play division games with one bye in there. So you minimize travel for the most part, right? Because all these teams are fairly close to each other in the division games. Yeah. So you play six games of division-only games. You play all your division games to get them out of the way. And not only is that smart for travel, but it's smart because you get those games on the books. And if it looks like you can't play any of those games, you're going to kick it back. Like, you have to play the division games if you're going to try and complete the season. That is paramount to everything. So then you have the first 7 weeks. Then you have another 7 weeks where the Patriots and Bills finished first and second in the AFC East last year. They would play all the other first and second AFC teams. and the Jets and the Dolphins would play all the other third and fourth AFC teams. I think that math works out, maybe, but you get the gist. It's like first or second place schedule, yada, yada, yada. And you have 7 weeks of the bye. If the math doesn't work out, go read Breeze's article and you can figure it out. Then, so you have a 12-game season over 14 weeks. Then, and that's the full season. Then what happens is you start the expanded playoffs where I think he put in like 12 teams from each side. And then the other teams who didn't make it go into a tournament for the first overall pick. And this is interesting from a Patriots perspective because you're like, oh, my God, Belichick would stink for the first 12 weeks of the season and then just pour it on for the final, like, 4 weeks and get to win the tournament and get the number one overall pick.
That's brilliant. I love that.
I love it.
All of it. Like,
I'd bet all over that.
Yeah, but so, like, when you do that, you would give – by doing the expanded playoffs and a shorter season, you're able to make it up to networks because you're like, listen, you know, you're going to lose games, but everybody's getting playoff games, and they're in prime time, and they're spread out, and people are going to love it, and we're going to have this tournament full of losers, and you know the players are going to pay for 16 games. It makes too much sense. And you know, worst case, you get to the end of the regular season, and it's a mess. You're like, all right, we're canceling the loser tournament, we're shortening the playoffs. You know, here's what we're going to do. We're going to push the Super Bowl back. It's a really smart idea, and I wish that the NFL would be a little more, and I'm sure that they are privately, but it would be nice if they'd be a little more aggressive about embracing some contingency plans and maybe discussing them publicly even.
Real quick, I know your time is short, but I don't want to let you get away without asking about Antonio Brown. I'm still fascinated with this guy, even though he's not here anymore. The NFL hands down an 8-game suspension. Seattle may or may not be interested. How quickly does he sign with another team now that his future is clear?
Yeah, I mean, he could definitely sign. And then here's the problem. Do you want to have him – you want to sign him and get him in for training camp because he'll be allowed to practice with your team. I think you want him in there. Do you want him around your team?
No.
I don't know. And,
no.
Right. I don't personally. But, I mean, if you're the Seahawks, you need to get some rest before he starts his suspension. The problem is you're taking a big PR hit. You're taking a big locker room risk. You're taking, you know, a financial risk because he's going to want some money. And he's suspended for 8 games, which we don't know whether that is half a season, 3/4 of a season, the right. Full season. I mean, we just don't know. And so I don't think you'll see anybody actually sign him until a team. And plus, do you trust Antonio Brown to maintain the integrity of his bubble? Because if I'm picking one guy out there who I don't trust to maintain the integrity of his bubble, it's Antonio Brown. So I think there's a lot of risk there, and you won't see a team do it until – they get in and are practicing and realizing we need some help at wide receiver.
I just wish him upon Aaron Rodgers. First of all, because the first couple of weeks of football would be amazing, first of all, just football-wise, to watch those two work together. But second of all, if it implodes, oh, you've got such a diva with Aaron Rodgers and Antonio Brown, who's just a maniac. I would love to see that whole thing implode.
You know how mad he'd be to be in, like, Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's another part of it too, right?
Yeah. So you know, he'd have frozen feet all year long.
Yeah. That's right. So yeah, there's that part of it. All right. Well, Will Brinson, we will let you go real quick. Just, you don't need to explain it. Just give me an answer. Better movie, Good Will Hunting or Boogie Nights?
Good Will Hunting. I feel like that's the wrong answer.
It is the wrong answer.
It's
Thank
not.
You, Will Brinson.
It's not Will.
it's the wrong answer.
It is the wrong answer.
All right,
answer,
we'll talk to you soon, Will Brinson. All right, we have to break. He's wrong, by the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, 95 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich and Will Brinson. Not only is he a good-looking fella, he is the senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. Also hosts the Daily Pick Six podcasts. And every week he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Will, are you... You're in North Carolina, so, I mean, you're kind of right in the middle of all this East IEA stuff. Are you guys getting nailed right now?
I got nailed last night at 2 a.m.
Good for you.
It's currently
it's Randy Will Brinson here. What's up there? Woo-hoo!
I was up after midnight, and it was pouring here, but we just mostly got a bunch of rain, and that's it. I think a storm already came through. I know my mother-in-law is down on the beach, and she sent some pictures of trees in their neighborhood that were pulled down. But I mean, we are through the storm and just a little soggier. No worse for the wear, as far as I can tell. I think some people around here lost power, but it seems like we're fine. And I don't know if I'm going outside today, but I hear it's probably nice out there.
Well, it's funny. It's because I don't really. It doesn't hit me the severity of how.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, it's different. It is something that we're going to have to work on going forward. I think the biggest thing that you can do is a little more communication internally on the bench, on the ice. But, you know, especially when you get down a goal, that first goal is pretty important. You know, if you're playing from behind, it's just you don't have that momentum from the crowd or the energy that you can feed off of stage of comeback. So, you know, you're going to have to be driven internally to find that that emotion to play. But I also think that for us, when you get into elimination type games, and you see it all around right now, they're very intense, and you know the level's very high. So you know, I think guys are going to have that drive that, you know, when the elimination games come into play, then you know it's going to ramp up a bit, just like the other games have.
Five of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. You know, the one depressing thing is that all of the hockey, essentially since the bubble started, has been fantastic except for the Bruins game. I mean, it's been, you had a hat trick the other day. As much as I hate Nazem Kadri, I think we all hate that guy.
Were there hats on the ice for that, by the way?
Yeah, it was people who worked there were throwing a couple hats on there.
Right.
So, you know.
Connor McDavid, I mean, he was unbelievable last night.
No, they did not bring the octopus. They did not. No. But you're right, Connor McDavid was fantastic. You had Nazem Kadri, once again, who I know all of us hate, but there was that with 0.1 seconds left, you know, he buried a game winner. Mm-hmm. That was phenomenal. Even the game that really, really screwed the Bruins yesterday, that Lightning game, because, you know, for them to have to go to a shootout, unfortunately, you know, Washington got 1 point. So what that does is when you look at the round robin, where it's all about the points and the rankings, you got right now, Philadelphia's got 2 because they beat the Bruins. Tampa Bay ultimately won that game in the shootout, so they have 2 points, but Washington has 1. So it's not like you're tied in the bottom 2. You're dead last with 0 points. So you've got a lot of work right now in order for them to, I mean, there's a lot of things that have to happen for them to be able to get the 1 seed now. It's almost, I don't want to say it's impossible, but like the Bruins have to beat Tampa Bay in regulation tomorrow. The Flyers have to lose to the Capitals, but they got to beat Tampa Bay. And then there's a bunch of other stuff. So it's not really looking good. Now, it's not absolutely necessary that they get the 1 seed. It just makes things a little bit easier. The other thing too about the Bruins, and, you know, first of all, it's good news about Tuukka. That whole situation was weird. And it was a little bit scary, especially when you had Cassidy the other day after the game say, well, they told us that he would be hopefully be back. You know, when it's out of his control or he doesn't quite know, that seemed a little scary. But now we just know that I guess all the players, when they arrive in the bubble, they've got this app that asks them a bunch of different questions. And one of them was, do you have a cough? And he had a small cough and he pressed it. And according to him, a bunch of, you know, started flashing red and he had to quarantine for 2 days and then take some tests, which ended up being negative. So he's going to be fine. But the one thing that we saw from that game is it wasn't really even Halak's fault. It's just the whole team looked tired, as if it didn't matter to them. Like the game had no significant meaning or I mean, they were listless when they came out there. Here's where we really are going to see, now that they're in last place and their backs are against the wall, it's not a playoff game per se, but it's as close of a test as you're going to get to find out whether they actually have that in their DNA to not be able to puke on their shoes one more time.
Don't forget the head coach. Don't forget the head coach. Bruce Cassidy, I'm sure, laid down the law. And with Tuukka back, we said this yesterday, Cassidy was not happy with the way they played. I mean, he was much more upset than any of us were, and the Bruins have a history of responding when Bruce Cassidy gets upset. And I'm not guaranteeing a win. And by the way, Tampa Bay just announced within the last 5 minutes that Steven Stamkos is not going to play tomorrow, and that
helps.
That's
a big deal.
Well, Stamkos didn't play in the last game either. I mean, he was supposed to play in at least one of these three games. He's been out since he underwent core muscle surgery in late February, but I mean, not having him, certainly an advantage to the Bruins, but I mean, it's how they look tomorrow. If they play really well and Vasilevsky stands on his head and they lose 2-1, I can live with that. But if they get blown out again and Tampa Bay beats them 4-1 or 5-1, then you have a real problem on your hands.
Joe Murray, you were out. You said out on the perfection line.
No, I'm out on calling them the perfection line anymore. I'm just out on it.
Oh, you're not out on. You wanted to break them up. You were like, move people around.
I would move them around, yes. To get secondary scoring, I would try it.
You can't break up the one line.
Cassidy did.
They do it? They did it. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm sick of just them being referred to as the perfection line. They're not perfection in the playoffs. They're not perfection in the Stanley Cup final. They weren't perfection in Game 7, and they haven't been perfection in one exhibition game or a simple rejoin round-robin game.
So how would you match everybody up?
I'd probably keep Stagnika there for now, keep them together. But Rask is going to be important. Does he play tomorrow or not?
And
people are going to continue to say, oh, it wasn't Halak's fault or this or that. The defense has been bad. They've looked slow. Chara's looked slow. McAvoy hasn't played well.
There you go. No, playing the hits.
No, but he helped out offensively. He had an assist. I'll give him credit for it.
Led the Bruins in block shots during the season.
That. Who cares?
You don't?
It's kind of a big deal.
It's kind of a very big deal, actually.
Yeah, at least they didn't get to Halak. They could, maybe could give up more goals.
I love your hatred for Chili.
No, you know what it is though.
It's like irrational.
I mean, everyone says top shelf. You know where he hides the pornos, and it's like
McAvoy can only block so many. You know.
Okay, if we had to have a heat level on the hottest takes on the show today, would it be Joe's irrational hatred for Charlie McAvoy, or in your opinion, my irrational hatred for Goodwill Hunting?
Oh, you win hands down. That's irrational.
I'm consistent.
Wrong. You're not even close. Yeah,
well, I've always
close.
I've always thought it was overrated. I don't hate it. I just think it's overrated.
You are the hotter take of the two, by far.
That might be, but that's a take I've had for years. I haven't changed it, and listen, Charlie McAvoy never did anything to me. I don't know. Did he do something? Did he look at you the wrong way?
At Pucks and Paddles, I tried. I tried to get a picture with him.
Oh, here we go.
Why, if you hate him?
Well, because I wanted to get that picture. I wanted to, hey, this is the guy I call average.
If he was really nice to you, would it have completely changed your mind about him?
Well, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
It's funny how that works. You can totally hate someone. They can just be like nice to you for a moment. You're like, oh, dude, you're the best.
Yeah.
And then everything changes. I'm sure that would be.
I still think
case.
He's average, though.
Man, I don't know how you can look at what he did this season and say that he's average. I understand where you're coming from, and I know that I know, and I've heard you talk about it. And by the way, I find it great. I hope you never give it up because it makes me laugh because it is irrational. But
I'll die on the hill until he has.
I know you will.
It's offensively. Offensively is the problem. No, not his all around game. Offensively,
he gives
that's
him the minutes.
Problem.
I think Chara slows him. I know they're. My whole thing is this guy was projected to be like the next coming, and I just haven't seen it. That's all.
All right. Well, the one good thing, speaking of the perfection line, is that, and maybe it's good, and maybe I am a little bit worried because it's the Bruins. And as I said, I'm going to over-worry about the Bruins, and I think that that's something I don't even feel that bad about. I genuinely think they can win, and that's why I'm nervous. I'm not nervous about the Celtics.
If they can win these next two, Rich, sorry to cut. If they can win these next two, I will praise them. I will take back everything I said.
You know McAvoy's going to score today.
I'm still curious if Rask is in net tomorrow.
He will be. He's going to be in net. The way that they're talking and the way that he was interviewed, it sounds like he's... I mean, he's done. He passed his test. There's no reason for him not to play. And you know what? He's going to... Even if there was a thought that Cassidy had at one of these games holding out Rask, he didn't intend it on the first game. And you could tell that from listening to Cassidy talk. And especially if Halak played the last one, Rask is going to play. Rask has been cleared to play. He's all good. The only thing that kind of in the back of my head, you know, has got me a little worried, and maybe this is irrational, is that I know yesterday, you know, Patrice Bergeron didn't skate and they said it was maintenance day and Cassidy just blew it off. They just got there.
Yeah.
Like, who gets a maintenance day when you just got there?
But again, this is the guy that's giving you everything he can through Stanley
Cup.
Best
two-way forward. If you're the head coach and he comes to you, this is your best two-way forward. One of the best two-way forwards on the planet said, I need a day off. Fine.
He's the only guy you can say this about. Everybody else, nobody. No one else gets away with that.
But I'm afraid that it's not him that came to them and said that. That it might have been, all right, man, you've got... There's this X thing going on, so we're going to give you a day off. I don't know. As I said, it's completely irrational, but I'm allowed to be irrational about a team that I really think
I don't want
to screw this up.
Now we got to get Wallach to be irrational because everything is awesome with the Bruins right now with Wallach.
Well, he's Red Sox back.
I said everything will not be awesome if they lose big on Wednesday or tomorrow afternoon. Everything is awesome with the Celtics. Yeah. The Celtics are awesome. Celtics are fine.
I got no problem with
that. I got to tell you one thing about the Celtics. I know we got a break. I think Jaylen Brown is where he's come from. Like, people are going to say Tatum's the best player. I love what Brown brings. Better defense.
Jaylen's consistent. He's been consistent.
And defensively, though.
Like, yeah, and defensively. He's one of the better defenders on that team. And you know what? And maybe, just maybe, Mike Gorman, as much as we laughed, and he said that Marcus Smart was the most important part of this team, he might be right, because everything changes when he's on the floor. The physicality of the team, the mindset of the team, everyone just thinks about the shots he's chucking up. I understand that. But he's right. Every time he's on the floor, it's just, you know, good things find a way of happening when he gets minutes. And I know that that's kind of a Pollyanna way to look at it, but he's right. And I know that there's plus minus and there's ways of calculating how valuable someone is when you're out there. But just the eye test, he really might be the most valuable part of that team right now. Well, I guess you can tell just how valuable that, or how unvaluable Jason Tatum was in the first game, and how much they truly need him to at least just...
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Comes to Celtics, I got a problem with them right now. I don't. They're playing right where they should be. There's no pressure. If they lose, they lose. All right. They're not expected to win a championship. The Bruins, I'm freaking out. I'm genuinely kind of freaking out about every little thing. I overanalyze, but then again, maybe it's just because I'm. I think that they can win. I think that they can do it. Don't blow it. That's what I'm trying to say. Not with the Bruins. I'm still nervous. All right. 617-779-0985. We'll get to Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub. This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let's play ball, it's game day. We want strikeouts, base hits, double plays. Take the field, hear the roar on the crowd.
Oh! time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack.
After hearing that Marlin song written by Scott Stapp, I'm convinced he's never seen a baseball game. I'm just naming things baseball bats. Yes, there's bases. Hey, who likes peanuts and popcorn? And then he just kind of goes back into default Creed mode and goes, faith and love. Because I think there's like a requirement that you have to throw some sort of religious element into each one of the songs. And he goes, hey, strikeouts, double plays.
I know one of his songs does have a verse that's like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Well, like, he does have that.
Really?
Oh, I know. I've purchased a few Creed albums in my life.
Interesting.
Ooh, yeah. Well, I mean, listen.
My own prison was awesome. I don't care what anybody says.
My own prison. Okay. I'm done crapping on stuff people like because I've done it. Goodwill Hunting apparently is everyone's favorite movie. It's the greatest film of all time, apparently. And you say you don't like it, and it's like, and everyone like bows up.
Well, you know, compared it to Boogie Nights, though, which I love.
No, I said Boogie Nights was
I feel
was
bad
better.
For talking about Boogie Nights because it's good. It's a good flick.
I just think that someone could package up a pile of dog turds and put a Boston Red Sox sticker on it, and you would buy it.
But we have that. We have that in Selfie. We have that in Celtic Pride. We have that already in Fever Pitch.
Celtic Pride's okay.
See, no, it's sucks. Not.
We can agree with that.
Celtic Pride is a horrible movie.
Go watch Selfie today.
What kind of standards do you have for a Daniel Stern, Dan Aykroyd movie?
And that should tell you how bad it is. The standards are low, and that was still bad.
Standards were low, and the quality was a little above low, so it was fine.
No, it wasn't.
Just for the nostalgia reasons. All right, real quick. You have a sponsor.
This wonderful section of the program is brought to us by Window Nation. It's buy two, get two free sale at Window Nation. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
All right. Speaking of movies that truly aren't very good, Field of Dreams is one of those. And Major League Baseball has canceled the game between the Cardinals and the White Sox that they were going to have out there.
People won't come, Ray.
I know. It's awful.
and the John Wallings and Dan Roaches of the world hang their head.
Not
shame
good.
And cry. But, I mean, what are you going to do? The Cardinals. The best thing is that the Cardinals, there was a report that came out yesterday, or it had been out for a couple of days, but John Heyman, I think, like solidified the reporting, and that is that these guys from the Cardinals went to some casino, and you know, this is on top of Derek Jeter doing that thing yesterday where he's like, hey, how dare you say these rumors that we were breaking protocol? Listen, they might have gone out eating with friends, they might have gone out shopping, they might have been out and about for getting coffee, or as once again John Heyman says, to get milk, but they didn't, you know, how dare you shame, dude, they broke protocols. Like, I that was the best thing about it, is he was like getting angry at people who were saying that they didn't behave properly and they put the whole season in jeopardy. Well, it's because they did. And the fact that people are still dancing around the fact that they might have gone to a strip club is, I think, fairly hysterical. But are you upset the Field of Dreams game, John, has
yes.
been canceled?
Yes, I would have liked to have seen it. I would have liked if they would they keep the purity of the field? Do you install a fence out in front of the corn? Or do you just let the ball go into the corn and that means a home run? One hopper into the corn to double? Yeah. I mean, how does it work? I'm upset.
I don't know.
Do they keep the stands? Is it just like one little section that Timothy Busfeld had to sit on there in front of the house? Or do they install more stands?
What would they do?
Or do they superimpose the fans? Is Fox part of this? There are a lot of unanswered questions, Rich.
The thing about Field of Dreams is that it's schmaltz that doesn't work. Like, they try to get you to cry. But the natural is schmaltz that works. Like, everything about the natural is like, you know, over the top cheesy with the music. But for some reason, like, you don't care. It's like, all right, this is, you know, this is what, and it's fun and it's good. And the bat, he names it Bat, whatever, Bat Boy, or then he hits the home run. And even though, like, legally you couldn't use that bat in a game, who cares? There's all the suspension of disbelief, which is fine.
Moonlight Graham had another chance. I don't understand why you're not grasping this. Moonlight Graham was brought to that field to get another chance. He didn't have it at bat. He played outfield for half an inning. He had a chance to hit against a Hall of Fame pitcher and flied out and drove in a run.
And by the way, Kevin Costner at that time, way too good looking for his wife in the movie. All right. That was just not good casting.
Yeah, and like she got a Bible belt too, like, you know. That little school like lecture thing or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like Kevin Costner was a number one hunk at the time, okay? And he was like this, like, you know, baseball guy. Come on. I mean, listen.
And she's like, is that the field with the big green monster?
Well, I mean, are you gonna like trot out Giselle Bundchen to be his wife? I mean, what are you doing?
You get someone from there. You bring in Elizabeth Shue. You bring in Elizabeth Shue, someone from Melrose Place.
And you really would have sold Elizabeth Shue as a Midwest housewife.
Oh, yeah. I don't care. You throw her in there. Jamie Gertz. You know what? Bring in the Lost Boys. Bring in Jamie Gertz and the Lost Boys, who now, by the way, is married to the owner of the Hawks, which was random because like they were doing the draft a while back.
Yeah, she was.
Is that star from the Lost Boys?
Draft lottery representing Atlanta. That's true.
Yeah, that's right. She's married to that guy who I don't even know his name, but I know her name, which is interesting. So you pointed out something, John, which is very weird because there's a guy that I follow on Twitter. And, you know, it's one of those dudes that every once in a while I just consider muting because he puts out good info sometimes, but he speaks in such legalese that I have no idea what he's talking about. But I guess something apparently big is going on with Antonio Brown this morning. Daniel Wallach is a lawyer. He covers all these different sports.
It's on this radio station a ton. Yeah.
He is. And when he's on with us and he's on the station, he's great. But the way he writes, and I guess he has to use all this legal jargon, I've got no idea. Have you figured out what's going on with Antonio Brown?
I actually direct messaged Daniel Wallach, and he answered back. So now I have an answer to what this all means. And Daniel Wallach just broke a story. A Miami judge has sanctioned Antonio Brown for intentional delay tactics and willful, deliberate, and I don't know what this word is, contumacious? I have no idea what that means. Mm. Failure to follow court orders. He strike, and apparently this has to do with the incident where Brown trashed a condo in Miami. And the argument was, who should pay for it? The owner wants Antonio Brown to pay for it. And Brown, like, countersued the owners of the condo, saying, you're ruining my reputation, whatever the case may be. The judge apparently, this is according to Daniel Wallach, the judge strikes Brown's pleadings and counterclaims in lawsuit alleging he trashed luxury condo and enters default judgment against him. What that paragraph did was basically back up your point, Rich. I'm more confused now than I was when I started reading it.
I don't know what's going on there.
What this means is the judge dismissed all of Antonio Brown's counterclaims with prejudice, meaning get that weak stuff out of here, Timothy Mozgov, and now Brown has to pay about $200,000 to $250,000 in damages.
All right, well, so that doesn't stop him from playing
No. Well, the NFL could get involved somehow, but that altogether seems minor, but it seemed like really, really bad when I read it first.
Well, the only reason that this kind of raises an eyebrow is, remember when we had Robert Klemko on? He's the guy who broke that whole story about the people that Antonio Brown had not paid, and he was also the one that I guess had crept up on the woman who was doing artwork at his home, and he was naked, and you know she didn't like she didn't go saying anything. She was just interviewed, and she never like tried to sue him. But remember, that was what led to Antonio Brown texting this woman and threatening her because he had spoken to Sports Illustrated at the time. And Robert Klemko, when we had him on and talking about that article and everything that had happened afterwards, didn't he kind of hint that there was another shoe that was going to drop eventually? And it almost kind of seemed like someone was waiting for him to get back on a team until it dropped. You know what I mean? Is my memory serving me correctly that Klemko was saying that there, or at least hinting that there was something else big that hadn't been reported yet that maybe someone was holding on to at that time? And that's why with Antonio Brown, when this news came out that he was able to go back and play in the NFL, you know, I used to dismiss all the Antonio Brown news because for the past season, it's just been him kind of clowning around. But now I'm kind of looking at this news like, all right, is this the thing that he's talking about? Or at least that he seemed to hint at. And that's why when I saw the Daniel Wallach thing, I'm like, oh, is this something big? And I'm like, no, it's just more. And the thing is, Antonio Brown's got so much stuff going on that, you know, there's all these different lawsuits that all of this, I don't know. Right now it's all noise until I think he gets signed to a team and then you'll probably end up finding something bad. So there you go.
Hey, Rich, you want any action tonight on the Celtics Heat game?
What is the over-under for Brad Wanamaker.
Ooh, that's probably not going to be on here. But you know what? I mean, we could make one up. I will say over under 7.5 points.
Oh, man, I'm a Wanaholic, but I might have to go under on that one.
He didn't score at all in the last game, right?
I know, and he was good in the first one, didn't score in the other one. Mm. Give me something to bet on. What do you feel confident in, Joe? You have never led me astray. Well, you have a few times, but listen, you got a good track record.
The Heat are on a back-to-back game, so I'm a little kind of curious tonight, but I think the Celtics, they haven't covered a spread yet.
Okay.
So I think tonight might
What's
be the night. 3.5.
What do we got?
Three and a half.
But
Celtics,
it's Miami. It's Miami minus 3.5, right?
No, it's the Celtics minus 3.5.
Oh, okay.
Miami on a back-to-back.
Right.
And
you know what? I like that. You know what? I will take the Celtics. I will take the Celtics with the points. I never like to bet on games that I care about. It's the degenerate ones that earn me money, and it's these ones that get me in trouble. Would you take that bet, Joe?
Yeah, I'll take yeah. I actually like the Celtics tonight, but Miami's tough. I'm just the only thing that worries me is do the Celtics want that 3 seed? Like, could they tank tonight, let them sneak up a little bit, try to get the 4 seed and play Indiana in the first round?
I think that Brad Stevens wants to see just what this team has. I don't think he's not going to let them tank. I think that he's really got to find out and ramp up the intensity. I mean, especially after Tatum had that stinker in game one, I honestly think that he's not going to – there's going to be no taking the foot off the gas, except with Kemba. You know, but that's going to happen until the playoffs start. Yeah, you know what? I'll take that. Give me a dinghy on that. I'll go 150.
3.5.
All right, up 3.5. For the Celtics.
Go, I'll ride it with you. Let's do it.
Hey! All right, excellent. All right, so that makes it a double ding.
That's right.
All right, well, we have Zolak, Bertrand. I think Hardy's back with them again, so you got a full house. Fantastic. I don't know if they're all in studio or not, but I'm sure when Scott Zolak heard the Creed music playing on the way in, he was fist bumping, so I'm sure he's going to be in a good mood. All right, thank you very much. We will talk to you again tomorrow. And hopefully the Celtics can pull this one off today and make me and Joe a little bit of money.
Right.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.